Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we in the building right now. Feeling it today. We gonna have a good episode today. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition, another installment, a new episode of your favorite podcast on these streets. The Opinionated Brothers are back. You feel what I'm saying? Your boy Ty the Pie Guy will be holding it down for today. Might have Cousin Scrap calling in later today in the show, but I will be holding it down for today. We are live on the YouTubes right now. Shout out to everybody that's tuning in on YouTube with us right now. Be sure to, if you are listening to us, wherever you do listen to us, be sure to continue to listen to us on our website at epicechopro.com. That is epicechopro.com. We definitely appreciate all the love and support that the Epic Echo community has been giving us, receiving. You feel what I'm saying? It's been up, man. It's really been up since January. So I really thank y'all, because like I've been saying, numbers have been up, views have been up, engagement has been up, comments have been up. Can I address the comment section really quick? Because man, y'all in these comment sections be going crazy. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know if half of y'all are bots, which, you know, I kind of cipher through some of the comments and I see. You know, some are bots, some are not. But, you know, shout out to everybody that continues to engage with us and comment. You guys are hilarious in the comments. I engage with y'all sometimes when I'm in there. So I appreciate you guys and I thank y'all. Be sure to check out TOB Saturdays right now. We just dropped a new TOB Saturdays on our Patreon. Be sure to check that out right now. Again, it's Epic. Right on our website at epicechopro.com, $3 a month. You can check out that and other content from bonus content from our podcast on our network as well. All right. Listen, we have some good things to get into today and just some, can I say cringeworthy things to discuss today. Of course, for the topic of the week, you guys saw the thumbnail. We're definitely going to be discussing the Wendy Williams doc. I watched it last night. Fell asleep on it kind of toward the end, but watched most of it. And I definitely have my opinions and my thoughts, so I'll give that toward the end of the show. But, you know, we got our topic. We got our clown and our MVP of the week, and we're going to talk about Gillian Jamal Crawford, the Mia Culpa review. I'm going to give my take on that. The new Trump red bottoms have hit the streets, and LeBron James is in the news again for defending his son. So we're going to discuss. So let's get right into it. Our MVP of the week this week. Yo, I don't know, you know, if you can fight a football player and he don't get knocked down. Not only does he not get knocked down, former football player, excuse me. Not only do y'all try to jump him, one, he doesn't really move. He don't fall. He don't stumble. And his hat don't come off. Now, who are we talking about? Of course, Cam Newton has been in the news just over this just last 24 hours. Him hosting a 7-on-7, I believe, in Atlanta, doing it for his community, doing it for those, you know, those in the community that he serves. And he, you know, from what I understand, he's been doing it, you know, since he, you know, was in the league. So shout out to Cam Newton for continuing to give his time and his energy and his love to, you know, helping these kids continuously grow. However, what a lot of us thought was, you know, he got jumped by like 3-4 kids, right? And that's not even the case. And I think that's what makes this even more kind of better on Cam's side. And I think I look at him more as just a figure of just like, this is how you control situations, even if I don't have security. Now, I do agree with everybody when they've talked about the situation. Cam Newton, you need the security. You are Cam fucking Newton. You cannot be walking these streets. I don't care if you well known in the hood or this and that, brother. You are Cam motherfucking Newton. You cannot be walking these streets without security. Don't care how big you are. However, he showed how you can have some restraint and still put niggas in a chokehold. Still put niggas in a chokehold. Right? How do you try to jump somebody and then you're on the losing end of it, for one? The people that jumped him are on the losing end of it because he grabbing one person by the hoodie, right? And I believe these weren't even kids. I think it was confirmed they were adults. So then you have adults by the head. Like, you're not even punching nobody, bro. Hat don't even come off the head. The hat don't even come off. It's literally staying on. My man's is like, I'm here. And as a lot of people have already cemented, Cam is better than me, for real. Because it would have gotten physical. It would have gotten, you know, definitely. It would have went there. You feel what I'm saying? However, especially in the moment when you're, whether the situation, I don't know the fullness of the situation, but when somebody comes up to you, runs up to you, you're trying to de-escalate an already escalated situation, and somebody runs up and just starts hitting you in the face. One, Cam Newton looked unfazed. That's just for one. He looked unfazed. Now, trash talking has always been in sports. See, and my mama and my dad always taught me, if you can't take the heat, boy, stay out the kitchen. Right? And so if you can't sit here, if you're a trash talking individual, you also gotta have the thick skin to understand that people are gonna trash talk you back, whether they better than you or not. They gonna trash talk you back. Hell, look at Patrick Beverly, one of the best trash talkers in the league. He's not better than LeBron James, but he will trash talk LeBron James up and down the court for damn near an hour. Why? Because that's one of his fucking superpowers. So if you can't sit here and take the heat, then stay out the fucking kitchen. Don't trash talk. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. And I love how Cam Newton handled that whole situation. I'm excited to hear 4th and 1. I'm excited to hear his podcast, how he responds to this from his point of view, like what actually happened, to restrain yourself like that. I definitely, a lot of us need to kind of practice that same restraint. A lot of us in that situation probably would have. Somebody coming in. Who this is? Oh, yo, is that that boy Scrap? Scrap Dilly.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Scrap Dilly Do on the phone. What's good, Scrap?
But dude, what's good with it?
What's happening? We talking about Cam Newton right now, Scrap. How Lord did you feel?
Jesus. Lord Jesus.
The Cam Newton video. About seven. Mm. Now, initially, Scrap, it was seven. They initially said these was kids.
Nah, right? They look like the old man.
But then you kind of look at them, and then you say, "Oh no, these are adults that came up and did this shit."
All right.
How did you feel about what was your first thoughts about, like, you know, the whole video and Cam Newton getting jumped and then kind of reverse jumping the people?
No bullshit. That shit was crazy.
Yeah.
Number two, y'all boys weak. Cam Newton strong as hell, whichever one. Cause bruh, y'all couldn't even get him on the ground. That is crazy.
6'5", they said 6'5", probably 250, 255.
Bro, yeah, you're not fucking with that, bro. Come on, man.
Like, he put linebackers on their back. I'm just saying.
Come on, man. Then his hat ain't come off. I don't know what kind of hat he got, but the hat didn't come off.
Yo, the hat didn't come off not one bit, Scrap. That hat didn't move. That hat didn't do nothing, bro. That hat stayed there. I said for him, and I said it to the people, Scrap. I said, listen, for him to have that type of restraint,
right? For him to have that type of,
he threw no punches. You saw punches coming from the other side. He threw no punches. He was grabbing somebody by the hoodie and dragging their ass while he got somebody else in a headlock. And I mean a full headlock. Like, boy can't move headlock. You understand what I'm saying? So commendable to Cam, because I don't know, Scrap, it couldn't have been us.
Nah.
And like I said, Scrap, like, we trash talking happens. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it happens in sports. Like, that's football, that's basketball, that's every sport. Trash talk happens. You got to have the thick skin to kind of take it if you're doing it. You can't be sitting here boxing everybody just because they done said something that's maybe truthful at the moment. You can't sit here and box everybody just because your trash talk didn't work and now they trash talking you back and now you just pouting. He talk about me because I ain't lost. Yeah, listen, nigga, you lost. Get back in the lab and get it right.
Yeah, well, I think them boys was hating on Cam or something like that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Too much. And that's I agree with and Shannon Sharp said this on Nightcap. He was like, listen, ain't no kids disrespecting me. Like, the fact that you sat here and I'm giving my time, my energy, my money, right? My time and my, like, those are two of the most important things, especially my time. I'm giving my time, bro. I'm taking time out of my day to make sure that this is going on, and y'all and adults who ain't never played the damn sport, who ain't never sat here and really did shit, living vicariously through their fucking kids, want to sit here and come fight me because of what? Cam Newton, make sure you got security next time, big dog. Make sure you got, as I said in the beginning of the hour when I talked about this, you are Cam fucking Newton. You need security. I know you big as hell, and I know you strong as fuck. But you still need security, bro. You can't Cam Newton, because your security would have stopped that in a heartbeat. Security would have been like, oh no, you not even making it like 2 feet towards my guy. Like, what? But he'll know next time to just have security, especially in those moments. I know that, you know, that's community, that's your community and everything, like I said in the beginning. But you just got to make sure you staying safe, and because shit like that happens nowadays. Like, niggas are bold. You feel me? Like, they talk shit to Cam when he went on the field a couple years ago. You feel me? Like, they be trying Cam, and I'm like, Cam is an MVP. What are we talking about? Six, 5, 255. This man ran through linebackers. What are we talking about? As a quarterback. All right. Y'all got it, though. Clown of the week, though. Lord, have mercy.
Trash!
What's up with your man's Orlando Brown, Scrap?
Boy, hey.
Scrap, tell me what's up with him. Now, I was with him when he was talking about all the water and how we got to pay for water. You know what I'm saying? How we got to pay for grapes and shit like that. You know, I was with him with all of that. But then he done steered a little left, and he was going left with the other video. But he steered way left on this last one. We got the clip right here, and we're going to play it just for y'all. So let's hear what Mr. Orlando Brown had to say.
They bought as fuck to my niggas.
I just said morphin. So hold on, wait.
Them my niggas, bro.
So you smashed them when it was girls?
I didn't smash anything.
So how you know
that? We made love.
Who you made love with?
Diddy, Bow Wow, Busta Rhymes.
You just told me you seen Busta in the airport too. That motherfucker tried to act like he didn't know you. You smashed Drake?
No, I never smashed.
Oh, you made love to Drake.
And
scrap.
That boy.
What'd he say? He said he didn't smash him. He made love to him.
Whoa. First of all, man. Hey, keep this shit a bean, man. Wow. Keep this shit a bean. We don't know what the fuck be going on in the industry, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But to have out of all of them people he named, who it was? Busta Rhymes.
He said Busta Rhymes, Bow Wow, Diddy, and Drake.
Okay. Out of all of them people.
Mm-hmm.
Why you Busta? I hope not, bro. I don't even think
Busta Rhymes get, bro. Come on, bro. That's not even Busta Bus, bro.
I got you. You know what I'm saying? You another one, but you know, say you was touched out there somewhere. I missed. Don't quote me. I don't know. But Busta, come on, bro. I don't know about Busta.
What did you think about him and Drake? You think him and Drake made love?
Hey man, Drake. No, man, possibility out there. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Oh, so what's the true possibility? Because it could it be him and Diddy?
Definitely that.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, he said that they did not smash, they made love.
So that means they were kissing and all in this bitch. <I'm sorry. laughs> That's crazy.
Oh, that's tough. That is tough. That's stand crazy. On business, right? You gotta stand on it.
That's nasty, my boy. But hey, I don't know how y'all.
I mean, listen. You got Drake leaking his meat to the world out here. You know, you got. When you talk about Busta Rhymes, I'm like, I don't think Busta Rhymes getting down like that, bruh. I can't believe that.
Not Busta, man. I think Busta beat the hell out your ass. Not flip mode. Come on, man. Hit you with the words of what you're saying,
yeah,
yo.
Yeah, I can't.
Not my boy, man. Stop. I don't.
I can't. My heart will be broken, bro. My heart will be broken. Oh my no god! If my girl loved Busta Rhymes too, her heart would be crushed.
Man, come on.
Oh my god!
Busta,
come on now! Don't do that to Busta Rhymes.
Stop.
Drake. Possibility is me is out to the world. Possibility. Diddy,
possibility.
Heavy possibility. Definitely.
Big possibility.
And who he say? Who else we said?
Bow Weezy.
Bow Wow.
I
don't know.
Yo.
I don't know. He did fake being on the plane. So, you know, he did lie about that. You know, one, and you know, you lie once, you do lie again. So, I don't listen. What we know about Orlando Brown is this.
Let me hold you.
He could have been playing Let Me Hold. Oh my God. That could have been playing in the background. Scrap. Oh, that could have been playing in the background when they was. Oh my God. Again, ladies and gentlemen, he did not smash these people. They made love. Okay. What we know about Orlando Brown is this. Orlando Brown sits here and makes content just to be making content and says it just to be saying shit. I think there is maybe just a screw or two loose up in there. But he says shit. Do you take it as face value? I don't. But sometimes I think there's always some sprinkle of truth everywhere in some statements. You feel what I'm saying? So, you know, this could be taken as outrageous. Yeah, he's crazy and everything like that. But hey, now.
Mm.
At the top of the year, we had Diddy and Cassie. And they settled. They settled as quick as fucking fish and fish grease. Don't play with that. They settled that shit quick. So, listen. You don't know. Listen. As who said it? Who said niggas getting BBLs out here in these streets? Who said it?
I want somebody to said be gold.
Somebody said
I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
Somebody said it. Niggas getting BBLs, cuz. So if niggas getting BBLs, cuz at this point.
Niggas is getting BBLs.
You know, so like, listen, the celebrity's about to just have it, just tell all at this point. Tell it all, Orlando. Tell it all. What they gonna do? Shoot you and kill your dad? They can't kill your dad. You done exposed it now. He a clown for real, bro. He crazy.
Yeah, I already said he was with the Illuminati.
Boy, he crazy, bro. Y'all are crazy. All right, let's get into some shit. Gilly versus Jamal Crawford scrap. What the hell? So Gilly and Jamal Crawford, y'all know Gilly and Wallow from, you know, $1 million worth of game and Gilly and Wallow's adventures and everything like that. Gilly was on his podcast and said that, you know, he could beat Jamal Crawford 1-on-1 in a basketball game, he said. And y'all know Gilly is nice. You feel me? He is nice. He nice with the rock, you feel me? But Scrap, they did have a video, right? They like they showed them playing for a minute. And I don't know who won that. I don't know who won the game. But it's just hilarious how Gilly just continues to he got a funny way of just calling out people. You feel what I'm saying? Like, yo, I can beat you at anything. You feel like I can do, and whether he win or lose, it's the confidence for me. You feel me? His confidence is unmatched, for real, for real. What did you think about Gilly and Jamal?
You already know what I think about that. Come on, man. Jamal all day. Over Gilly. Come on. Gilly is a hooper now.
He is a hooper. Is Jamal a hooper, though? Yeah. I ain't never seen Jamal hoop, though, so I don't know.
You never seen Jamal Crawford? Who?
No, I personally, I have not. So that's why I'm asking you, cuz is he a hooper?
I think Jamal is like what? He like what? 40 something now?
Like 40 something? Yeah, about 40, 41. Like, yeah, 42.
About 40 something. Uh-huh. And he just had played a couple months ago at the little league, some little league, okay. And he dropped like 40.
Oh shit,
bro! He's still like
so
the handle.
Jamal Crawford could give Gilly his the works.
Right, right, yeah. He could give it to him.
Shit, hey, listen,
no bullshit.
I don't know, Gilly. You might
just like he said. Gilly said, "Oh yeah, he got to play defense." Jamal, I think Jamal will lock that shit up.
Yeah,
but Gilly ain't got no defense. Come on, bro.
He's straight. He's specifically offense. He don't play no defense. He too old to play D. No disrespect, Gilly. I love you, but you too old.
I gotta take this call, y'all.
Go ahead, cuz. Go ahead. But Gilly is too old to be playing defense. That's just what that is. And old folk will tell you, old heads will tell you, when you get to a certain age, when you play rec ball, you can be the offensive threat all day. But you not running up and down the court to play no goddamn defense. I played rec. Nigga, like, niggas, when they get to a certain age, they not running up and down the court like we used to. No, bro. Even like we do now. It ain't the same. So, listen, if cuz saying Jamal Crawford is the truth, I might have to go with Jamal Gilly. I'm sorry. Let's talk a little bit about Mea Culpa, the new Tyler Perry film that is on Netflix. Okay. So, how can I start this off? Mea Culpa. Mea Culpa is a movie starring, you know, Kelly Rowland in a film where she is a lawyer. She's a part of a family where basically, you know, mom is sick with cancer, and she has these sons who, one of the sons is her, you know, is Kelly's husband, and the other son is her brother-in-law, who's an attorney running for mayor. And they're trying to put away the black man, the black lead, the male lead character in the role, who's a painter. He was accused of killing his girlfriend, all of that good stuff. And, you know, through the movie, you see that, you know, Kelly is, I'll put it to you like this. I'm trying to explain the movie, but fuck that. I'll put it to you like this. Mea Culpa was a rendition, a Tyler Perry rendition to me, of 50 Shades of Grey. And I don't say that in a great way. I say that in a way where the sex scenes in this movie felt forced. It did not look appealing. It did not look attractive to watch. I will say the wig game looked better. Here's the thing about me. As a Tyler Perry person who has watched Tyler Perry through and through and through for the last probably 20 years of my life, I don't watch Tyler Perry movies to watch Tyler Perry movies for what he writes, directs, and produces, because I know what he writes, directs, and produces. You understand what I'm saying? I watch for the aesthetics. Is your camera game better? Right? Is the wig game better? Is the makeup game better? And now that you have a Kelly Rowland on set, who has probably been your biggest star to date on your set, in a sense, the fact that the wig game was better, that's okay. That's a plus. Because across the board, your wig game has been trash. And Tyler Perry always has these excuses where I pay these people to get my wig. Brother, you are the leader of a whole fortress over there. And you're telling me you're just allowing people to just choose the wigs for you? Stop playing, Tyler Perry. If you're writing, producing, and directing, then if you're saying the wigs are right, then these wigs are right, that's a lie. Then you're not directing really well. That's just fucking facts. I don't care how much money you have made. And this movie was not, it just didn't. Kelly tried to act her ass off as best as she could in this badass film. It was so predictable. Like, you knew the brother-in-law set up the main lead character for killing the girl who was alive the whole time. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care if I'm giving the movie away. Fuck this movie. Like, excuse my language. Because Tyler Perry always does this. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking Mea Culpa is going to be something that is going to have some flair, to have some boom. You look at the trailers, and again, the trailers always give it or make it look good. But this had no substance. She had no substance as a character. She was weak, fragile. She had no power. I'm like, Tyler, can we get off of that? Women are not weak and fragile anymore, especially black women. Who are black women that you think are weak and fragile right now? Kelly showed lack of strength in that goddamn movie. And if you're going to do 50 Shades of Grey, do it the fuck right, goddammit. If you're going to put soft porn on the screen, do it right. This shit looked trash. Looked trash. Can we play it?
Trash!
It looked oh my God. I was like, my girl over here cringing. She was like, I don't even want to watch this shit no more. Cause it felt forced. You could look at it and see it was forced. And I'm just like, yo, this shit looks terrible. Terrible. So yeah, no. It's a no for me for the Mea Culpa movie. But check it out. You feel what I'm saying? Again, I don't watch Tyler Perry movies for... I think this was the first one where I was excited to see, I guess, something new, and it was the same. It was totally the same. And as somebody, and if you've watched Tyler Perry for like 10 years plus, his movies across the board, every single storyline just seems like it continues to be the same. And it's like, can you give black women some goddamn strength in your fucking movies? Stop making them look so goddamn weak. I don't know if you have weak black women around you. I don't know if that's what that's the storyline you're trying to keep or trying to bring on the screen, but stop. I've never had a weak black woman in my life. So to see you continuously make them look weak and then come out being strong, no, make her strong from the get-go. Jesus Christ. LeBron defends Bronny. He defended Bronny because ESPN's mock draft came out and they did not have Bronny on there. Bronny is, you know, at USC right now, I believe averaging like 5 points a game right now. But also he just came out of, you know, the cardiac arrest and the surgery that, you know, he just had. So I was always giving him a pass, you know, for this year. The fact that he even came back and started to play again was a blessing in itself. So, you know, you just go back in the lab and get ready for next year. However, LeBron defended Bronny, you know, just saying like, oh, let kids be kids and everything like that. And a lot of people were coming at him because he said previously, like a month ago, you know, Bronny can come into the league and just, you know, kind of play in this league right now. LeBron, and I guess this is where I guess the parenting aspect of everything comes in. You got to know what you're saying when you're saying it and how you're saying it, right? I get what you're saying about, you know, Bronny trying to come into the league right now, but he still needs development. I love what Melo said about his son and coming into the league. Like, you have to develop first. It is not just going to be you go from high school to the league. Absolutely not. It's not going to be high school 1 year in college and then the league. It's not going to be that. You're going to develop. You feel what I'm saying? And I think Bronny still has to develop, especially after what his body, what his mind, what he has gone through personally. You feel what I'm saying? He has to get back to who he is, get back to what made him great, what made him be in the draft in the first place and be a draft prospect for the last 5 years. You feel what I'm saying? So all this, I think all the talk around Bronny in a sense is just like, yo, everybody just shut up, hush, and let this young man sit here and do it. You feel what I'm saying? He just came off something catastrophic when it came to his fucking heart and his body. He's still low-key probably healing. His body's probably still healing at this point. And we're trying to rush him. We're trying to rush the process. Let the process go. I understand LeBron wants to play with his son, but you have to understand your son may need to still develop still, right? There still may be some developments in play for him. College may be the opportunity where he continues to get better. I think we have to stop the process of others, if y'all get my drift. See, sometimes we go into, like, we let people, like, we like to say, like, yo, trust the process, but then at the same time, we're stopping the process. because maybe we don't like how the process looks or whatever. It's the process. It never looks good sometimes. It never looks peaches and cream or, you know, like dandelions and rainbows and roses. It's never like that. It's the process. It's going to get gucky. It's going to get ugly sometimes. You're going to trip and fall, sprain your ankle sometimes, maybe break a leg, maybe, you know, it's going to happen. But then in the process, are you going to get back up? Because it's never going to be easy. But are you going to get back up, try again, and forge ahead? And that's it. And that's, to me, what Bronny is doing. And again, just by getting back on that court, for me, I think that was it. So I'm definitely looking forward to him, you know, coming back and showing and shutting niggas up next year for real. The Trump red bottoms are out. The insurrection ones are here. Trump has dropped his shoes. Do we have a picture of the shoes? I think we do have a picture of it. Let's put the picture of the shoes. Oh, wow. The Trump insurrection ones. Look at these motherfuckers.
Trash!
Wow. But they are selling out, though. They've sold out. They've sold out everywhere. And now they're reselling, of course. And my only question to you guys, are you buying the insurrection ones? Are you supporting your president and Donald Trump? Because I'm not getting them bitches.
Trash!
They look ugly as hell. I said, this nigga talking about, oh, he relate, black people relate to him, you know, because he was locked up. Nigga, shut up. We don't care about you. We don't care about you or your insurrection shoes.
Trash!
Get out of here. All right, let's get into our topic of the week. Man, this, there's a lot of documentaries that I watch, right? As I've told y'all, I'm a docu-buff. So there's a lot of documentaries that I watch. This one in particular, the Wendy Williams documentary, was one that I don't think particularly I was ready to watch. Here's the deal. When it comes to Wendy Williams and, you know, how people view her, how people see her, that's just up to your debate. That's up to your interpretation. That's up to your opinion and how you feel. I will say this. This documentary, it did not look, she did not look well at all. She didn't look like she was doing what needed to be done for her health at all. You could visibly see that her health is deteriorating, like literally in front of our eyes. I believe her nephew said on the documentary that if it was not for DJ Booth, who was the main DJ at the time for the Wendy Williams show, she would have died. Thank God she's still with us. You feel what I'm saying? But she would have died. The most cringing part about it, the doc for me, was when she talked about her lymphedema and said she can only feel 2% of her feet. Now, before I get into that, in the 2019 documentary, because they did put that on a Lifetime too, this is her second one. And the first one, she talked about it. And she talked about it, and she said at the time she could only feel about 60, 65% of her feet. To now be 4 years, 4 or 5 years removed from that documentary to make another one, and maybe even earlier, and her to say she can only feel 2% of her feet. And then they showed it. I cringed. I'm not even going to lie to you. I cringed. Looking at her feet, I said, why do y'all have this woman working? I understand there's a price for things. And the more she kept saying, I don't want wealth, I don't want anything else but fame. The only thing I want is fame. That's it. I don't want Jesus. I don't want, you know, I don't want the money. To a degree, wealth is a thing of money. So to me, you're saying you don't want the money, you don't want the house, you don't want the cars, you just want to be famous. And Wendy, you of all people should know that fame comes with a price, my dear. It does. And the fact that she has been honest about her health, what she's going through, and it seems to me as if, one, not only is nobody helping her or I guess trying to help her. I guess you have some people trying to help her. But to the extent that they need to. And then, however, there is this thing of you can only help somebody so much who's willing to help themselves. And I don't know if Wendy is willing to help herself when you're continuously drinking and you don't need to drink and you're getting mad at your sister and your son and people who say put the alcohol down. You get upset with them because the alcohol is literally destroying your body. And why I get so kind of just like a little choked up about this, because you see it and you see it every day, and I've seen it in my own family. Alcoholism is fucking real. It is a poison. And I see it through and through when it comes to Wendy. Right? She had a really good thing of hiding it, I think, when she was on the show. You feel what I'm saying? But when you're grieving with everything and you really haven't grieved, she hasn't grieved with her divorce. She hasn't grieved with her ex-husband cheating on her, having a baby on her while they were still married. She hasn't grieved with that. For real, for real. And that what did that happen? 5 years ago? 6 years ago? That she has not sat and grieved with that. She has not let that go. Understandably so, it's hard too. Now you have a guardianship. Now you can't access your cash. You know what I'm saying? So the thing that you ran to initially for your cope now is probably the thing that's killing you. And for me, I don't want to see Wendy die. It's just, I don't want to see that. I don't wish that. I don't wish what I saw on that screen on my worst enemy. Sometimes she looked into it. Sometimes she looked out of it. Sometimes I was wondering, why is she even on this screen? Why is she not laying down somewhere, resting? She looked frail. Damn near sometimes she looked pale. They had her, like, sometimes I thought to myself, are the people around her really saying the things that they do y'all really care? Are y'all really caring? Because I don't believe y'all are. I don't believe it for one bit. Because it doesn't look like it. And, you know, Kevin, everybody's been coming at Kevin, you know, her son. I will say this to you, Kev. I don't know how hard it is to go through something like this right now. There's probably a lot of emotions you got going on right now. Probably not. I don't know. What I will say is, me personally, if my mom was in this condition, whether she wanted to tell her story or not in this condition, I would not have signed off on that. My mom could have got mad at me. She could have told me you're the worst child in the world. Go to hell. You're insignificant. She could say everything. She could say any and everything, but I would not put her on the screen when she's looking like that. I don't care how much my mom may have not been in my life. I don't care how much. I don't care. There's no amount of money and there's no amount of anything that would allow me to put my mother on that screen looking like that. Talking like that. There's no amount. So you catching heat for a lot of the things that are, you know, happening. Yeah, bro, because you are her. You're somewhat of her guardian as well. And then to her actual guardian, I believe, which is her niece, I believe. How are y'all taking care of her for real? Who's really taking care of this woman? Why are y'all allowing her to do this? I don't know what's going to happen to her. I really do pray that she sticks around with us. I do believe also that karma is a bit. You feel me? It comes and goes. When you do right by folks, God will do right by you. If you do right by him and you do right by others and your heart is humble. Excuse me. I don't want to say this is the price of fame, but I also want to say this is the price of fame. It's sick. Because that's the one thing that I got from that is she didn't want wealth. She didn't want anything else. She wanted to be famous. And there's a price for fame. And I don't want to say this is the price, but Wendy Williams is not looking good. And I just pray for her health to get better. All right. All right, y'all. I love y'all so much. Y'all be easy. Stay breezy. We'll be back for TLB Saturdays. Make sure that you subscribe to the Patreon. We'll be there. We got some bonus episodes coming. Make sure you subscribe to my new YouTube channel, Tired of Pod Guys, coming. We'll be talking about podcast news, tips, and interviews. So check us out. We'll be coming next week with some content. March 6th? Yeah, I believe we start March 6th. I believe so. In like a week or two, we'll be... we're putting out some content over there. So check us out over there right now at Ty the Pod Guy. Right now, that is Ty the Pod Guy. All right. Again, follow us on YouTube. Shout out to all of our subscribers on YouTube. You feel me? Thank y'all to everybody that came into the live. And be sure to listen to this podcast and others on our website at epicechopro.com. That is epicechopro.com. All right. I love y'all. Y'all be easy. Stay breezy. And this has been another one. And, we out. Peace, love, and hair grease.